When you look at the dashboard of your car and a single red light starts blinking, it's usually pretty obvious what's wrong.
Right, you need oil or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe your tire pressure is low. It's a localized, isolated event. But what happens when the entire dashboard lights up at once?
Oh, that's never a good sign.
Right. The engine light, the battery, the brakes, the temperature gauge, all flashing simultaneously. You wouldn't just look at the tire pressure indicator and think, I simply drove over a nail.
Yeah, absolutely not.
You'd realize there is a systemic underlying failure connecting all those lights.
And to take that a step further, you're no longer dealing with a single solvable problem at that point. You're looking at a system in a state of active convergence. And diagnosing a convergence requires a completely different analytical toolkit than, fixing a flat tire.
Totally. Well, welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are bringing you a fascinating analysis of the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing Alternative News for May 8th, and we're unpacking materials provided on behalf of the Great Awakening Report.
Yeah, we've got some really intense material today.
We do. The sources we're looking at today dive into what they describe as stepping entirely outside the matrix. So bypassing mainstream news to look at alternative stories, and massive systemic shifts, they argue, are just, well, being ignored.
Which is exactly what the mainstream won't cover.
Right. Now, before we get too far into the weeds, I want to establish some ground rules for you, the listener. We're here today to map out the arguments and claims presented in these specific sources. We aren't endorsing these viewpoints. We're taking sides in the debate between alternative and legacy media.
Absolutely.
Our job is simply to unpack the logic, explain the mechanisms, and highlight the connections these sources are drawing so you can evaluate them for yourself. By the end of this deep dive, the goal is to give you a roadmap for navigating highly volatile information without completely short-circuiting.
And to effectively map those arguments, we really need to apply the specific framework our sources rely on to make sense of all this noise.
Right, they have a whole system for this.
They do. They categorize information into three tiers: signals, threads, and patterns.
Signals, threads, and patterns.
Exactly. Signals are your early indicators, the subtle shifts, the ignored anomalies, or going back to your analogy, the single blinking light on the dashboard.
Got it.
Then threads appear when you connect those signals across different domains. For instance, observing how a localized health crisis ripples into, say, economic supply chains.
I see.
And finally, when multiple threads intersect, they form patterns. Patterns reveal the actual direction and momentum of the underlying system.
And the sources we're unpacking today have some wild signals for us to look at. I mean, we are going to cover everything from hidden localized healthcare risks that fly completely under the radar to the incredibly violent 2026 solar cycle that is currently just shattering scientific predictions.
Yeah, that solar cycle stuff is intense.
It really is. But let's start with the human layer specifically, the transparency gap in our health systems. Okay, let's unpack this. The sources bring up something called hantavirus as a primary signal.
Which is a perfect example of a localized issue.
Right. For those who aren't familiar, hantavirus is a severe viral infection, usually transmitted to humans through contact with rodent droppings. It can cause a fatal respiratory disease.
And it's highly dangerous.
Very. It surfaces intermittently in these localized clusters, yet it rarely gets widespread attention. It's completely eclipsed by massive global health panics. Why does something with such a high mortality rate just, I don't know, fade into the background noise?
What's fascinating here is the underlying structural math of how health risks are managed, and more importantly, how they are funded.
Funding. It always comes back to that.
It really does. It fundamentally comes down to the complex systems of biotechnology, patents, and intellectual property. The sources point out that modern health systems are heavily structured around massive research funding and global regulatory frameworks.
Right, it's a huge machine.
Exactly. Developing a new treatment or vaccine costs hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars. A localized issue like hantavirus, while incredibly severe for the people affected, only impacts a small population.
So the numbers just aren't there.
Right. The sheer math of the patient base doesn't trigger the massive, scalable intellectual property engines that a widespread, highly transmissible global virus does.
Wow. It's like watching a play where a spotlight only hits a few actors, like the hantavirus. While the real story is the complex network of pulleys and producers operating in the dark, which in this case is the biotech funding and the patent structures.
That's a great way to put it. The public health communication we see is merely the spotlight. That spotlight prioritizes what people track based on perceived scale and institutional priorities.
Right.
But the pulleys and producers in the dark are the biomedical technologies and the return on investment models. When medical innovation is largely dictated by patent access and global pricing models, a transparency gap is inherently created.
Because we only see what's profitable to show us.
Exactly. The treatments and the warnings that become highly visible to you are the ones that align with that massive funding structure. The mechanisms of capitalism and public health are deeply intertwined, and that dictates the narrative.
Which creates a profound disconnect. I mean, the public assumes the volume of the warning matches the severity of the disease.
But in reality, the volume of the warning often matches the scale of the funding apparatus.
Exactly. And because of that exact disconnect and lack of transparency we just discussed, it's no wonder the public is fiercely demanding accountability for past global health events.
Oh, absolutely.
When people realize the narrative is shaped by funding engines they can't see, they start looking backward. The sources dive heavily into this retrospective scrutiny we are seeing right now regarding pandemic-era decisions, focusing on figures like Anthony Fauci and major health organizations.
And looking at this impartially through our framework, the signal isn't merely the public pointing fingers at one specific individual or organization.
Okay, then what is it?
The actual pattern is a systemic stress test. The public is attempting to understand how massive, interconnected institutions function under crisis. We are talking about overlapping networks of public health agencies, private research bodies, international coordinators,
pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, all operating in the exact same soup.
But wait, let me push back on that framing just a bit. Are we just trying to pin a massive systemic failure on a single face? Because the system itself is just too abstract and distributed to blame. I mean, it's human nature to want a villain or a hero, right?
That's a very fair point.
If the system is a giant faceless blob of overlapping committees, it's just easier to point to the guy at the podium.
Sure, and the sources certainly acknowledge that psychological drive for a scapegoat, but reducing it to just human nature misses the structural reality of the crisis.
How so?
Well, these massive institutions were forced to balance incredibly difficult, mutually exclusive priorities. Think about the mechanics of a crisis response. A global health coordinator has to prioritize the speed of a vaccine rollout.
While a regulatory body has to prioritize long-term safety data.
Exactly. A government official has to prioritize public reassurance to prevent panic, while a research scientist wants to prioritize total transparency about the unknowns.
Oh, I see. So when those priorities inevitably clash behind closed doors, the outward messaging shifts back and forth.
Yes.
And when the messaging shifts, the public immediately registers that contradiction as deception.
Precisely. In an ecosystem where responsibility is shared across 50 different entities, accountability becomes impossible to trace. If a policy fails, the government blames the data scientists blame the pharmaceutical trial parameters,
and the pharmaceutical companies blame the regulatory timeline. It's a circle.
Exactly. So the true pattern unfolding right now is a structural demand from the public. People are revisiting timelines, looking at raw data, and asking, how are these decisions actually made when the stakes are planetary? This is a fundamental crisis of shared responsibility.
And the downstream consequence of that crisis is massive. When people lose trust in these opaque, interwoven institutions to tell them the truth about their health and safety, they inevitably abandon the legacy media networks that they perceive as merely repeating those institutional talking points.
That is the connecting thread right there. The structural shift in how information is produced and consumed is a direct reaction to the transparency gap we just broke down.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The sources highlight this absolute explosion of independent media.
Yeah.
We're talking 3-hour long-form interviews, decentralized on-the-ground creators, and deep-dive technical analysis hosted by individuals, not corporations.
The landscape has completely changed.
It really has. The technological barrier to entry has completely dropped. We've gone from being handed a set menu by a few legacy media waitstaff to foraging in an infinite wild buffet of independent creators.
A wild buffet is a good way to describe it.
It's total freedom. But it means you, the listener, have to be your own taste tester and your own toxicologist.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the entire burden of discernment has shifted onto the individual. Historically, legacy media provided a centralized storyline. They were the gatekeepers, and they performed the synthesis for the public.
They told you what to think about the news.
Right. But now we are experiencing narrative fragmentation. A single geopolitical event can happen, and within an hour, there will be dozens of radically different, highly produced interpretations broadcast to millions of people, we have moved from centralized narrative control to distributed interpretation.
So, as the listener, you are no longer a passive consumer sitting on the couch letting the evening news wash over you. You are forced to be an active participant in sense-making.
Because navigating an infinite buffet requires a highly calibrated internal compass. This level of exposure to competing, often contradictory viewpoints, forces individuals to constantly reevaluate the frameworks they've always relied on.
Which sounds exhausting.
It is cognitively exhausting. But the sources frame this fragmentation not as a collapse, but as an evolutionary forcing function. It forces critical thinking. The transition is about moving away from relying on institutional authority to deliver the truth, and instead building the intellectual endurance to construct your own understanding from diverse, unfiltered inputs.
So we have human systems, health, governance, and media all fracturing, decentralizing, and under immense pressure. But what the sources reveal is that this volatility isn't just societal. It's happening on a planetary and even cosmic scale.
This brings us to the concept the sources call Earth System Convergence.
Okay, Earth System Convergence.
Yes. We are tracking signals across environmental stress, extreme heat events, shifting weather patterns, and increased volcanic activity. The critical shift in observation here is understanding the mechanisms that connect these events rather than viewing them as isolated meteorological anomalies.
And the most intense thread the sources bring up to connect these anomalies is solar cycle 25. The warning here is highly specific. Right now, in 2026, the sun is acting unexpectedly violently.
Very violently.
It is shattering scientific predictions regarding sunspot activity. And the sources claim it is posing a direct physical threat to the U.S. power grid and our global communications infrastructure.
Yes, that's a major focus.
Okay, I have to play the skeptic for a second because this sounds like a massive leap.
Yeah.
Are we literally connecting solar flares to human infrastructure stress? Like, we're looking at the sun's sneezes to explain earthly power outages.
I know, it sounds abstract until you look at the actual physics of the systems we've built. Modern human civilization is entirely dependent on technological and energetic frameworks that are highly sensitive to geomagnetic disturbances.
Okay, how sensitive are we talking?
Well, when the sun releases a massive coronal mass ejection, a huge cloud of electrically charged plasma, and that plasma hits the Earth's magnetic field, it compresses our magnetosphere.
So the magnetic shield around the Earth physically gets squeezed.
Yes. And basic physics tells us that a fluctuating magnetic field induces an electrical current in a conductor. Our power grid is made of incredibly long transmission lines stretching for thousands of miles.
Right.
Those lines act like giant antennas. The solar storm induces a massive direct electrical current into the ground, which travels up into those transmission lines.
Oh, wow.
The problem is our grid's transformers are built to handle alternating current, not a massive influx of direct current from a solar storm. The coils overheat, the insulation burns, and the step-up transformers can literally melt from the inside out.
Okay. That makes the vulnerability terrifyingly physical.
Well,
we aren't talking about bad cell reception. We're talking about the hardware that powers our cities physically melting because of a magnetic squeeze from the sun.
Exactly. Which raises the critical point the sources make about cyclical timing frameworks. Earth does not operate in a vacuum. It is deeply connected to cosmic inputs. The sources point to historical synchronization periods where environmental stress, shifting solar dynamics, and complex astrological or timing cycles all align simultaneously.
So we aren't just a closed loop here on the ground. We are part of a much larger energetic gear system.
What the sources argue we are seeing right now is a period of peak synchronization. Local, global, and cosmic inputs are aligning to place maximum demand on human-built infrastructure.
It's all happening at once.
Right. The environmental stress strains global energy demand. The solar activity threatens the technological hardware, and the timing framework suggests this is a coordinated period of systemic intensity. It's the convergence we talked about at the very beginning.
So what does this all mean? Seriously, if our medical systems are driven by hidden funding structures, our media is fractured into a million competing voices demanding our attention, and the actual sun is threatening to physically melt our power grid.
Yeah.
How do you process all of this without completely short-circuiting?
It's a lot to handle.
It is. If you were the listener processing this convergence, how do you wake up in the morning and just go to work?
That is the most vital question of this entire deep dive. And the sources provide a very specific roadmap. the transition from the phase of awakening into the phase of adaptation.
Awakening versus adaptation. Okay, break down the mechanics of that transition.
Awakening is the intake of the signals. It's the realization that the centralized narratives are breaking down, that the transparency gaps exist, and that the physical systems are under stress.
That's the part that feels overwhelming.
Because it is. Awakening on its own is an inherently destabilizing state. If your nervous system is constantly consuming high complexity, high threat information without a physical or mental mechanism to process it, you will experience profound information overload.
Because awareness without integration is just anxiety. If you just stare at the entire dashboard flashing red and scream about the blinking lights, you aren't actually helping the situation. You have to know how to steer the car to safety.
Precisely. Adaptation is the application phase. It is translating insight into highly practical, localized behavior. The sources emphasize a crucial law of physics. As external systems become more volatile, your internal system must become more stable to compensate.
That makes perfect sense.
Adaptation means actively and ruthlessly reducing your inputs. It means stepping away from the infinite media buffet. It involves seeking deep stability in your daily routines and actively practicing physical self-regulation.
It's about building capacity. You are treating your awareness of these massive cycles as a tool, not a weapon you use against your own peace of mind. You stay engaged, you watch the threads, but you refuse to become constantly reactive to every single emergency the internet feeds you.
Your internal coherence becomes your stabilizing force. The pattern of human adaptation is evolving right alongside these cosmic and systemic changes. The ultimate goal is to reach a baseline where your clarity is no longer dependent on the external world being calm.
Which brings us to the Truth Seekers Weekly Wrap-Up, the journey from the matrix to higher frequency living. We've connected some heavy, complex dots today, from the shadows of biotech patent law to the literal physical impact of coronal mass ejections.
We covered a lot of ground.
We did. But as the sources remind us, navigating this matrix of information requires deep emotional, physical, and spiritual care.
The materials outline four specific pillars for achieving that grounded adaptation. First, actively letting go of fear. Fear restricts cognitive processing, and releasing it is the first step toward sovereignty.
And the second.
Second, practicing forgiveness and emotional clearing. You have to clear out the mental residue of past conflicts to maintain sharp discernment in the present.
I love that. Third is utilizing meditation and transformational breathing. And we aren't just talking about relaxing. This is about using the physical mechanics of breath to stimulate the vagus nerve, signaling to your nervous system that you are safe, even when the information buffet gets deafeningly loud.
That physiological safety is key.
Yeah. And finally, the fourth pillar, living with the heart of a volunteer, leading with authenticity, local service, and unconditional compassion in your immediate daily actions.
There is a quote from the source material that perfectly encapsulates this required shift in perspective. It says, "You're either outside acting in the movie or going within to watch it consciously."
Wow. That is incredibly grounding, because when all those complex systems are flashing, the opaque health institutions, the media fragmentation, the solar cycles, you have a fundamental choice.
You really do.
You can let the chaos hypnotize you into a state of total panic, reacting to every single headline like an actor trapped in a disaster movie, or you can take a breath, step back into the theater, and become the observer.
Yeah.
You watch the systems consciously, knowing you are the one writing your own internal script.
Let's build on that idea of adaptation and observation with one final thought for everyone listening. We've talked extensively about how humanity must adapt to these converging cosmic and solar cycles. But if human technology and our understanding of these geomagnetic inputs continue to advance, what happens when we reach a point where we don't just adapt to these signals, but attempt to artificially mimic or manipulate them?
Oh, yeah.
If we are already debating the ethics of geoengineering our weather, how long until we try to engineer our way out of a solar cycle? And what are the unintended consequences when we start playing with the very cosmic pulses that govern our planet?
That is a massive question to chew on, and a perfect place to leave it. A huge thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay grounded, stay aware, and keep connecting the dots. Until next time.